welcome to the first episode of the new Ray Leiter Show at SpringfieldTalk.com. How you doing? I'm Ray. It is fantastic to be here. Thank you for tuning in. I see that many of you have already tuned. I'm a little shocked. I got to be honest. I'm not going to lie. I'm a little shocked that so many of you have tuned in today. And I don't know what you're going to hear. This is a test show. So, hello, Mr. and Mrs. America. It is great to be here, and I hope you're enjoying the way you're listening, which I know is always where people are used to listening to the radio for the show. I mean, you're hearing it on AM, you're hearing it on FM. But here's the deal: it's pretty much going to be the same type of show that I do, which is a comedy-based news talk program. All right, I'll try to. Of course, I'll fit some news in because I love to talk about it. I'll try to do local talk as much as possible, and of course, you'll have my take on national things as well. That's what I'll be doing on this show. What you won't be hearing me do on this show is insult or slam the company that I was working for until last week, because that's not what this is. So those of you who tuned in expecting to hear some kind of crazed lunatic have a meltdown and backstab the people who put him out of work, it's not going to happen. I'm sorry. You'll have to go and find another show for that. Whoever's doing that type of I'm sure there are people out there that you could find that are that's not what I'm going to do. It's not what I do, and it's not what I'm going to do in this point or in this program. So I just don't want to get to it. Can you tell I'm a little nervous today? I'm actually a little nervous doing this, and I don't know why, because every single morning I do another show called Morning Disaster, and it's the same studio, except I have my co-host there, and I don't have co-host here, which shouldn't make me feel uncomfortable, considering I had Barb occasionally at WTAX, but I really didn't have a co-host then. However, I'm not going to lie, there's a reason I'm doing a week of test shows, and that is to get the nerves out, because I do feel a little bit nervous. There are a lot of things going on in the world, and a lot of things that we've got to talk about, and I'm going to get to them all. We've got the Golden Globes, of course, that happened last night, and the brilliant Ricky Gervais. God, I love Ricky Gervais. What a set on that guy. What a set on that guy. I also have for you the most racist governor in the United States. We'll talk about him today. We also have on today's show parking meters in downtown Springfield. Ward 5 Alderman Andrew Proctor has an idea to somehow make it a little bit easier for you to park in downtown Springfield, as in if you don't have change, you'll still be able to park there. An interesting idea with him. We have Gail Simpson, who long has been someone I have talked about in different versions, in different incarnations of the Ray Lytle Show. She's back in the news, sort of. She was, I'm not going to say the word, what's the word I'm looking for? I'm definitely not going to say blackballed. And I don't even think it was about her. In fact, I know it doesn't have anything to do with her. It just has to do with the fact that they're trying to put a public member on an ethics board, a member of the public. And the alderman of the city of Springfield last week decided to define what a member of the public is. We'll try to discuss that as well. So a lot of things to get to. And, of course, the thing that made me most sad when I woke up this morning, I found out about the passing of David Bowie. Do you think it's
a young American. Oh, this is not America.
your protein pills and put your helmet on.
Sad news. 69 years old, David Bowie passed away. They said his family was around him. And listen, if we had to choose a way to go, I mean, it's a little traumatic for the family, but if we had to choose a way to go to sort of drift off in our sleep, would definitely be the way to do it, right? That's what David Bowie did last night. Sad. Did anybody know he had cancer? Seriously, did anyone know he had cancer? Oh, I guess it just passes along. If you feel like calling in, you are allowed to do that. The phone number is 217-814-0332. That's 217-814-0332. If you feel like calling in, I understand why a lot of you will not, and I put up with this in the morning as well. I know a lot of you are listening to me through your smartphones, so it makes it hard to listen to a smartphone and then call a show. So I don't understand. I'm never concerned when I don't get phone calls while doing the web thing. I completely understand it, and so don't feel any pressure. I'm prepared to go without any phone calls. I'm gonna say, if you feel like it, maybe you're listening on a desktop or through other means, or maybe God forbid, maybe you're actually near a landline. Does anyone even have a landline anymore? If you feel like sharing, you can always call 217-814-0332 to call in. Okay. And that's the number that people who I interview and things will be using as well. All right, so David Bowie passes away, got his family by his side. I didn't even know he had cancer. Did they announce he had cancer? I didn't even know. They said 13 months ago he was diagnosed with it, and it obviously wasn't a very long battle. Well, 13 months, I guess, for some is a long battle, but it seems like you'd like to get more than that. But he passed away. Here's a. I found this great audio of him talking about life. This is from 1973, but listen to what he says.
I find that I'm a person who can take on the guises of different people that I meet. I can switch accents in seconds of meeting somebody, and I can adopt their accent. I've always found that I collect. I'm a collector. And I've always just seemed to collect personalities, ideas. I have a hodgepodge philosophy, which really is very minimal.
Do you believe in God?
I believe in an energy form, but I'm not. I wouldn't like to put a name to it.
Do you indulge in any form of worship?
Life. I love life very much indeed.
Yeah. Pretty sad. Pretty sad, David. And by the way, a fantastic, just a brilliant, brilliant musician, man. David Bowie was, oh my God, the guy was a talk about a genius. And he made music that changed things. I mean, changed it. He would do a style of music and then other people would copy it. So he would actually do a style of fashion that other people would copy. He would do many things that other people would copy. He was a trailblazer, and he will be missed. So rest in peace, David Bowie. I always liked him because he has a low vocal range. And not super low. I mean, he's not swing low. You know, he's not down there. He's not down there, but he is. He's got a low register. And I know that I also have a lower register and I'm a singer, so I always love David Bowie music because I could sing David Bowie music even like when I was drunk or if I had a sore throat, I could still hit all the notes, you know, because he doesn't get up super high in the range. And he always sounded fantastic and beautiful. Love David Bowie. And my daughter love that movie. What was that movie he was in? There was a movie he was in where my daughter and niece would watch all the time, where it had puppets in it. I talked about it this morning. What was it Labyrinth? And it had puppets in it, and it had the actress Jennifer Connelly, and I couldn't even tell you what it's about, but I could tell you that I walked in many times into the living room when my daughter and niece would be watching the movie, and David Bowie was great in it. Although I haven't seen the whole thing, his parts were always he's dancing around, looking ridiculous, and he just seemed to be very comfortable. He just seemed to be very comfortable while dancing around looking ridiculous. And anybody who can do that, well, they have my respect. So rest in peace, David Bowie. The last night was also the Golden Globes, hosted by the one and only Ricky Gervais. I love Ricky Gervais. I think I've got that thing that Ricky Gervais has, where I could look at something and come up with the weirdness of it. I think I could come up with the narcissistic angle of everything that he can always come up with. But here's what he has that I don't. Ricky Gervais has that set of, you know, that allows him to say it in front of everybody. I could say it behind a microphone. You know, I could people listening, I could point out the horrible things you do behind a microphone. Ricky Gervais will sit you all in a room, look you in the eyes, and point out the horribleness that you all possess. That's what Ricky Gervais does. He hosted the Golden Globes last night.
Hello and welcome to the 73rd Annual Golden Globe Awards, live from the Beverly Hilton Hotel. With all these rich, beautiful celebrities having the time of their lives. Let's hope no one spoils that. Yeah. Relax, I'm going to try and be nice. You're global megastars with amazing talent, most of you. A few of you just married well. You know who you are. We all do. We all do.
So he made people angry, as is the case, because Hollywood overreacts to everything. But not just Hollywood, the T of the LGBT, angry at Ricky Gervais for jokes about Caitlyn Jenner. By the way, he didn't insult Caitlyn Jenner for being transgender. In fact, his joke didn't have anything to do with being transgender. Here's his thing of here's his joke on Caitlyn Jenner.
But as I say, I'm going to be nice tonight. I've changed, not as much as Bruce Jenner, obviously. Now Caitlyn Jenner, of course. What a year she's had. She became a role model for trans people everywhere, showing great bravery in breaking down barriers and destroying stereotypes. She didn't do a lot for women drivers, but...
So, I don't see how that offends the transgender community. I mean, that was a joke about Caitlyn Jenner driving the car and hitting... Remember... She hit and killed people, or a person. Now, who would be offended? All right, well, maybe Caitlyn Jenner would be offended, or maybe the family of the person that was killed would be offended, but why the transgender community is offended, I don't know. I mean, you gotta watch it. That's something I want to start pointing out on this show. I need to get a panties in a bunch award. And by the way, you know, Caitlyn Jenner has had panties in a bunch. And I don't mean it metaphorically. I don't mean it figuratively. I mean it literally. I bet Caitlyn Jenner has had panties in a bunch. Women's panties, I would assume, if you're wearing them and you're not used to wearing them, they could get a bit bunchy. One of the things I want to do in the show, though, is call out people who I feel, get upset for no reason. Or are wrong to be upset. The transgender community, you are wrong to be upset about this. His joke had nothing to do with being transgendered. His joke had everything to do with killing people when driving poorly. Transgender people, he wasn't saying that everyone who is transgendered gets into accidents on the highway and kills people. He was simply saying that that's what Caitlyn Jenner did. So relax. Pull the panties. Get your hands down there. Get your hands down there and unbunch them. I need to come up with some kind of, maybe one of the listeners will help me out. Can someone come up with an unbunching sound effect? We need a, I need like a hand pulling something out and an unbunching sound effect for people who need to pull their panties, their bunched panties out of wherever they have bunched up into. Let's see, who else is mad at Ricky Gervais? Oh, I know who's mad at Ricky Gervais. Probably should be. But he did bring it upon himself. Let's talk about Mel Gibson. If you remember the last time that he hosted the Golden Globes, Ricky Gervais made a Mel Gibson joke. That was great. Well, he had to introduce Mel Gibson again last night.
A few years ago on this show, I made a joke about Mel Gibson getting a bit drunk and saying a few unsavory things. We've all done it. I wasn't judging him, but now I find myself in the awkward position of having to introduce him again. Listen, I'm sure it's embarrassing for both of us, okay? And I blame NBC for this terrible situation. Mel blames, we know Mel blames. Listen, I still feel a bit bad for it, right? Mel's forgotten all about it, apparently. That's what drinking does. No. I want to say something nice about Mel before he comes out. Oh, yeah, okay, here you go. I'd rather have a drink with him in his hotel room tonight than with Bill Cosby. Please welcome Mel Gibson.
There you go. However, the person that received the worst, in my opinion, the person that received the worst of Ricky Gervais's humor wasn't even there. And it's Batman. It's Ben Affleck. He wasn't even at the Golden Globes. But Ricky Gervais brings him up when introducing Matt Damon, who for some reason, by the way, his movie The Martian was nominated for a comedy, which I saw The Martian. I love The Martian. It's a fantastic film. There's no way it should have been labeled a comedy. Anyway, here's Ricky Gervais introducing Matt Damon. And Ben Affleck's name comes up.
Our next presenter is the star of the hilarious comedy The Martian. Oh, he nearly died. Right. He's also the only person who Ben Affleck hasn't been unfaithful to. Please welcome Matt Damon.
I like Ben Affleck. I like Ricky Gervais. It was a low blow, and I really hate myself for laughing at it. I really do. I'm very angry at myself for laughing at that joke. Another person in the news, and he's all, why wouldn't he be in the news? Because he's always in the news. Donald Trump! I need to come up with some sort of Donald. I need to come up with a theme for Donald. But Donald Trump, the new polls came out. The new polls came out. And Trump is still on top of the polls. However, Ted Cruz is moving in. Ted Cruz is on his way up. Moving up in the polls. Trump and Ted Cruz are locking in their lead amongst Iowa likely Republican caucus participants because they don't, you don't vote in a caucus, you participate in, I don't know, it's confusing. We don't do caucuses. We're not hillbillies. I don't know how it works. But I know Trump is sitting at 31%, Cruz at 29%. Marco Rubio is up next with 15%. Ben Carson continues to plummet. He's down to 7%. And the next of that pack of other guys running is sitting around Chris Christie at 4% and everybody else below him. So Iowa still loves Trump. However, they're really liking Ted Cruz. There's another debate coming up. And Fox News debate, of course. So that means that Trump is again attacking Fox News host. It's time for Megyn Kelly to once again feel the wrath of the Trump. He sent out a tweet today. In fact, he sent this tweet out 2 hours ago. And here's his tweet. Trump says, Megyn Kelly recently said she can't be wooed by Trump. She is so average in every day, or she's so average in every way. Who the hell wants to woo her? Let's do that in Trump voice. Megyn Kelly recently said she can't be wooed by Trump. She's so average in every way. Who the hell wants to woo her? There you go, Trump. Unbelievable. He's unbelievable. I've said it before. I have no intention of ever voting for Donald Trump. My God, the amount of pleasure. The amount of pleasure that I get for this man, that I get from watching this man is unbelievable. And, you know, listen, I'm also starting to get some pleasure from this Ted Cruz stuff, which because I feel smart. I predicted this. If you remember, longtime listeners of Ray Lytle Show, I actually predicted this. I said that Ted Cruz, it's going to come up that he was not born in the United States of America. He wasn't born here. He was born in Canada. And I was talking with someone the other day who was one of these big birthers. Oh my God, this guy and his birtherism drove me crazy in 2007. All right? Obama was born in Kenya. I said he wasn't born in Kenya. Well, his dad was from Kenya, so it doesn't matter. He's ineligible to be president. I said, no, he's more than eligible to be president. Well, he was born. I said he wasn't born in Kenya. And so we'd have this big argument. And then one time I said, okay, even if he was, he's still eligible to be president. And this person was aghast. What? I said, yeah, because his mother is from the United States. She is a United States citizen. And this person continued to argue with me and everything else. And it was so annoying. We actually talked less over it. I stopped talking to this guy in 2008 because he drove me crazy with this ridiculous birtherism. And then even after Obama won, he continued with it. Well, finally, we started talking again not that long ago. And he starts in on Ted Cruz, and I go, well, I guess you're going to agree with my theory now. He goes, what are you talking about? I said, well, my theory about being a naturalized citizen. And he said, what do you mean? I go, well, Ted Cruz, you know, was born in Canada. And not only would he not let me continue with saying, you know, if Cruz's mother's American, and so that means he would be eligible, blah, 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 blah. Not only did he not let me go there, he pulled a complete I don't even know. He pulled a complete truther on me. He became like a truther. And said that Cruz wasn't born in Canada, that that was the liberal media making it. By the way, Ted Cruz is not denying he was born in Canada. It's not like Cruz is somehow denying it. It's public fact. It's known fact. It has been known fact. He was born in Western Canada. His father was Cuban, and his mother was in Canada at the time he was born. That's why he was born in Canada. There is some concern, though, about whether or not Cruz can run for president. And the person who brought it all up, well, you know who. It's Trump. It's Trump, of course. And Trump, who by the way, Trump is so, he's so good at bringing up things while not bringing them up. I mean, very impressive. Trump does this move where he's like, well, some might say, others might have said, it has been brought to my attention that I don't agree with this, but, and then he'll bring up the thing. He brought up the whole Canada thing. And he brought it up under saying, well, I've just got some advice for Ted Cruz. Go to court and get a declaratory judgment. And he starts to explain how the whole thing works, which, by the way, was a brilliant move. It made Trump seem smarter than Cruz. However, I'll tell you somebody who won't talk about it is Reince Priebus, the chairman of the Republican Party, who refuses to answer the question about Ted Cruz. They asked him, they said, a topic in the news today, Ted Cruz was born in Canada. This is from Time Magazine. They said, is Ted Cruz constitutionally eligible to be president? And Reince Priebus said, look, I don't get involved. I'm not going to get in the middle of all these candidates' issues. It's a bad place for me to be. I'll let all these folks argue about this stuff, and I'm going to stay out of it. And it's a simple question. Is he? It has nothing to do with the other candidates. Is he eligible to be president? Priebus would not give an answer. This tells me there are people in the Republican Party who realize how hypocritical. This is what I think. I think they might realize they sound very hypocritical if what they were attacking President Obama for, they end up attacking Cruz for. The things that they said why Obama was somehow ineligible, if they ended up fighting for that to get Cruz in there. Although, the bottom line is, Obama was born on American soil, so none of it makes a difference. Whereas Cruz was born in Canada. Now, by the way, my personal opinion, I don't care. I don't care. I think if you have American parents, you could be born anywhere. What does it matter? I think Arnold Schwarzenegger should have been able to run for president. Why not? He's been here long enough. That's just my opinion. My opinion with Ted Cruz is also that he should be given the right to run for president. Unless somehow they prove that his mother wasn't an American citizen, the guy should be allowed to run for president. And I can't believe there are so many people that are having problems with it. But it all goes back to the one, the only, the master, the Trump. Donald Trump. He's the guy. Donald Trump is the guy who it all goes through. And as long as that's the case, he's going to be the front runner. And I'll tell you what, he's probably going to be the guy that runs against Hillary Clinton in the general. Although, I got to tell you, my God, I would love to see Donald Trump versus Bernie Sanders. Wouldn't that be fantastic? Donald Trump versus Bernie Sanders. It would be Battle of the Bad Hair. Battle of the Bad Hair right there. If they can run. However, I think it's starting to look more and more like it's going to be Trump and Hillary Clinton. And Trump knows it too. That's why, I mean, Trump is attacking Bill Clinton. They're not comparing Bill Clinton to Bill Cosby. I'm not sure how they get that. Did Bill Clinton rape 40-some-odd women and I don't know about it? I don't remember Clinton raping women. I'm pretty sure he fooled around with them. Hey, you go ahead and go out of town, Hillary. I watch things here at the old house. That's all right. I'll bring some employees over to clean up and stuff. Now, don't get me wrong. I am sure Bill Clinton did some horrible things. I don't think he drugged and raped people. And especially not 40 of them. But somehow there's been this comparison between Bill Clinton and Bill Cosby. Another person in the news, the one, the only, El Chapo! El Chapo, I don't know if you guys heard, El Chapo has been rearrested. And some people are saying it's because of Sean Penn. That's right, the actor Sean Penn set up a meeting with El Chapo. Somehow set up a meeting and did an interview with El Chapo. Now, how did the authorities not find El Chapo, but Sean Penn did? You know, how is Sean Penn able to find him? Is he a friend of Spicoli? Find some tasty bird. Find some El Chapo. How did Sean Penn track him down? He's got an interview with him that's going to appear in Rolling Stone. He somehow got a meeting with El Chapo. And somehow Rolling Stone asked him to interview El Chapo. And El Chapo wanted to meet with Sean Penn. So while he was there, he asked the questions of the interview. And they also say that Sean Penn told El Chapo, he says, hey, if you give me the interview, I'll give you control of what gets printed. And now everyone's saying, well, Sean Penn shouldn't have given editorial control to El Chapo, blah, 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 blah. Listen, every single day journalists give editorial control to someone. I find it disturbing that anyone does it, but Donald Trump gets editorial control. Hillary Clinton gets editorial control. El Chapo's going to get editorial control because here's your choices. Either you do the interview and you give them creative control or editorial control, or you don't do the interview. But always record the interview, because then if they like get captured like El Chapo, well, you go and play it anyway. What's El Chapo going to do? What's El Chapo going to do for behind bars? I mean, other than escape again and track you down and maybe kill you. But other than that, what could he possibly do? So congratulations to Sean Penn, who is not just an actor. I guess we can also call him a journalist, dare I say. Sean Penn, the journalist, getting a chance to talk to El Chapo, who is now back in prison, by the way. Funny story, funny side note about that. Comedian Andy Borowitz, who writes for The New Yorker, did a story saying yesterday, he did a parody news piece, which is what Borowitz does. He did a story that said ISIS has now canceled a meeting with Sean Penn. because after he interviewed El Chapo, El Chapo got caught. And it was funny until the Associated Press, was it the Associated Press? Forgive me if it's not them. But a respected news organization picked up the parody story and printed it. Now, it didn't last long before they took it down, realizing that it was not a legitimate story. But once again, we crossed the line of fake news becoming real news. If you write fake news, that's got to be like your ultimate goal, right? To somehow get major publications to believe your story's real. That's a horrible goal, by the way, because the people in this country are dumb enough. We have too many people believing fake news as it is from non-existent sites, from fake news sites. The last thing we need, the last thing in the world we need are people believing fake news, or the last thing we need is real media outlets running fake news. That's the worst possible thing that could happen. It really is. I mean, that really is like a worst case scenario thing. Can we please watch that? It's bad enough I can't go on Facebook without seeing that ridiculous conspiracy, you know. Ridiculous conspiracy theories and other things. The last thing we need are people being able to back up their claims because a respected organization like Associated Press accidentally ends up repeating a fake news story as real news. That's the last thing that we need happening. Please, someone watch that. Also, in the news, the Playboy Mansion is going up for sale. But there's a catch. There's a catch. You can buy the Playboy Mansion, but you have to take Hef. That's right. The Playboy Mansion is for sale, but Hugh Hefner has no intention of moving out. So whoever buys the Playboy Mansion, you'll have a renter who doesn't pay any money. Hugh Hefner will still be living in the mansion. Even though you own the mansion, Hugh Hefner will still be living in it. Now who's gonna buy the mansion with Hugh Hefner living in it? I asked the question, but you know damn well somebody's going to buy the mansion with Hugh Hefner living. Hugh Hefner and his wife, by the way, she's 29. He's 89. What could they possibly have to talk about? What could they possibly have in common? He has grandchildren. And if I'm not mistaken, great-grandchildren as young as, like, his children. Can you imagine that family tree? Good Lord. I always think it's weird when, and I had people like this that were friends of mine growing up, and my family's big like this, where you have like someone who's younger than their nephews or nieces, you know? Like my uncle Steve is only a couple years older than my brother. So we were close to being in this situation because my mom is so much older than my uncle. But imagine Hugh Hefner. I mean, this guy's got some kids that are in their 50s, maybe even their 60s, if I'm not mistaken. And then he's got other kids who are, I think, toddlers. Good Lord. You get the kids, the grandkids, the great-grandkids. This guy's What a lie. So you got all those people running around. And you're all you want to do is buy the stupid Playboy mansion. And you have Hef running around your house. Like, you're just trying to have a nice, relaxing night at the mansion. And all of a sudden, here comes Hef, who's 89. God knows when the Alzheimer's going to set in. And he's, you know, soiling himself or walking around the house mumbling with his silk pajamas and smoking jacket and a pipe and a young wife. All of a sudden, he comes wandering up down the hall, scratching his rear end as he looks into the fridge. Ah, you guys got any chicken? Yeah, you guys got any leftovers? When are you going to go to the store? Could you do me a favor and get some white cheese? All you've got is orange cheese in here. What am I, a hillbilly? I mean, I could imagine. Could you imagine having? How does that work? He's got to live in a separate house, right? I don't know. I've never been to the Playboy Mansion. I've been invited. I've not gone. And the guys I was invited with, they went. They said it was awesome. They said it was awesome. But I don't know. That's just not anything I would want to do, but I would now. I wish I would have, because I would know if it's just one big house, if there's several houses. Is Hef going to live in the spare room? Are he and his family living down the hall from you? Is there a separate house they live in? Who uses the pool? I will say Hef's wife using the pool. That ain't a bad thing if you're, you know. Who knows? Maybe we'll win this Powerball and we'll move into the Playboy Mansion. And it is something that Playboy announces that the mansion's gone up for sale the same time the Powerball hits over $1 billion. Can you imagine that? The Powerball is over $1 billion. Whoever wins the Powerball, and I don't know what day is the Powerball. Tuesday, Wednesday or something, right? Whoever wins the next Powerball, they're like take home. Even after the taxes and everything, it's going to be like $800 million. Good Lord! But every jackass thinks they're going to win it. And no offense to anyone out there who thinks they're going to win it, but do me a favor, can you stop going to Facebook and putting on there, if you copy and paste this or if you share this, I'll give you $1,000. Because, number one, no, you're not. Secondly, you're not going to win. It's just, you're not going to win. Stop thinking you're going to win. Because you're not. And I will tell you this, if I win, I won't be giving any of you $1,000. I don't know if I'm going to win because I'm not playing, but if I were to play and I were to win, I promise I would not, I promise I won't give you $1,000 simply because you shared it on Facebook. What does it care if you share it on Facebook? I don't get that. Is this like a humble brag? Is it your way of saying, okay, listen, there's no way I'm ever going to win this thing, but I want to humble brag and make myself look like I'm really like a good person. So I'm going to put this out there that I'm such a good person that if you share this, I'm going to give you like 10,000. I'll make it 10,000 instead of 1,000. I'll give you $10,000. By the way, you'd win 800 million. You could afford to give us a million. Give it to 10 people. You'd still have $790 million left. However, you're not going to win, so you're just humble bragging, trying to make yourself look better than you are. Well, if you were truly a good person, you wouldn't be wasting my time with your ridiculous Facebook bull crap over whether or not you win the Powerball. By the way, if one of my friends were to win the Powerball, I'm sure I would never see them again. Because I can't. You win $800 million, you are the hell out of town. You're not going to stick. Your life would be. Could you imagine? Your life would be a living hell. It really would. I mean, I'm living proof. You know, last week I was fired from my job. Remember that? A lot of you listening, you know that. Of course, I imagine 100% of you listening know that. I was fired from my job. It was in the newspaper. It was common knowledge. There was someone last week, after it was announced I lost my job, the person knew I lost my job. The person still had a conversation with me talking about me losing my job. Still found a way. During the conversation, I mean the set on this guy, still, while having a conversation with me, found a way to ask me to loan him money. That's the society we live in. Could you imagine if I won the Powerball? How many people would hit me up for money? If you got friends that ask you for money on the day you get fired, or the day after, the day it is announced you get fired, imagine what these so-called friends would do the day it is made public that you just won the freaking lottery. Imagine that. How horrible would that be? So you leave. So if someone you know, this is my promise to you. If you know someone that wins the lottery, they're going to be dead to you. You might as well just write them off because they'll never talk to you again. They will get the hell out of Dodge. Also in the news, the second to last note I have for you today. The fire in Tulsa, Oklahoma. With this woman. How do I describe this woman? She's a large woman. This is a woman of my... I mean, this is the kind of person that I love. They're just like me. They're obese, outspoken, and have a tendency to sound ridiculous. Here's a woman being interviewed by a Tulsa TV station, Channel 6 in Tulsa, after her apartment building caught on fire.
My friend came to the door. She said, I was on the phone cooking me and my baby some breakfast. And she said, hey, something wrong. It's popping. I said, what? She said, yeah. I said, no. So the girl come downstairs. She come out her apartment with her baby with no shoes on. I said, oh, girl, it's cold outside. She said, something ain't right. I said, oh, man. She said, oh, man, the building is on fire. I said, no, what? I got my three kids and we bounced out. We ain't gonna be in no fire. Not today.
There you go. Someone impregnated her 3 times. Three times. That's her discussing a fire. I mean, I apologize in advance for putting in this thought in your head, but can you imagine the pillow talk coming from that one? From that lady? Good Lord. Oh, yeah, you're going to impregnate me now. Oh, yeah. That's one of my favorite clips. And last but not least, as I'm running down the things that you may have missed, probably the worst thing I heard last week. In fact, pretty sure it was the worst thing that I heard. And by the way, I heard, Ray, we're going to have to let you go. Yeah. But that was not the worst thing I heard last week. The last thing I heard last week was Governor Paul LePage of Maine, who said one of the more racist things that I have heard a governor say. This is Governor LePage of Maine talking about their drug problem.
And so what? Some of the things that we have done. Number one, I got a bill into the legislature right now to take the traffickers. Now, the traffickers, these are people that take drugs. These are guys under the name D-Money, Smoothie, Shifty, these type of guys. They come from Connecticut, New York. They come up here, they sell their heroin, then they go back home. Incidentally, half the time they impregnate a young white girl before they leave. Which is a real sad thing, because then we have another issue that we've got to deal with down the road.
So, he never called the drug dealers black, but he made a point of them impregnating a white girl. Like, impregnating the white girl is the true problem. And then he tried to blow it off. He said, they asked him, they said, well, you know, don't you think it was racist? He said, no, it wasn't racist at all. This is honest to God how the guy tried to, this is how he tried to explain away his horribly racist comment. He said, oh, by saying white girls, I meant Maine women. I meant Maine girls. He said, you know, 99% or 90% of the population's white. So by saying white girl, I meant a Maine girl. Which is perhaps the single worst excuse I've ever heard someone use for being racist. Come on. What you said was racist. Apologize. You know what? I shouldn't have said that. I apologize. But I'll tell you what, his poll, I would imagine among some communities his poll numbers went up. I would imagine in some areas he went up. In fact, I'm not sure, I'd have to check, but he might actually be leading the Iowa caucus poll for who they would vote for president if the election were tomorrow. They might want to check into that. They might want to check into that. All right, those are the things that you may have missed. This is usually the part of the show where I would take some sort of break, or I would do some sort of, I would do something eventually. If enough people listen to these test shows and everything works out technologically, this is where I would put some sort of advertising in the show. A short break, and then return with more of the Ray Lytle Show. I don't have any of that stuff yet. So we will just continue on. By the way, the number again is 217-814-0332. I understand most of you are listening on your smartphones. I understand why you're not calling in. I do, however, see that quite a few of you are listening, and I really appreciate that. Thank you. Thank you. And I'm not going to lie. This week is going to be, I think there will probably be some moments that are tough. There will be some other moments that sound like what you're used to, and my fingers crossed there will be some moments that sound even better than what you're used to, but this is a week for figuring this whole thing out and seeing if it's something we can do. I was speaking of governors. I want to continue on that note and talk about our very own governor, Bruce Rauner. Governor Rauner and his pulling away from the bargaining table in regards to negotiating with Ask Me. Where does it go from here? I mean, how does he just pull away? Is that something, you know, what does the end mean? What's the, you know, what's the end? What are we looking for here? I, you know, what is the end game? I think everyone has known. By the way, anybody who didn't know, anyone who didn't know that the top thing on Rauner's agenda was to break up that union, you need to wake up, because that has been the goal from day one. It's what they did in other states like Wisconsin. It's what they're trying to do here. They want to break up the union. And not just because they think that the union is somehow responsible for overspending and blah, blah, blah. No. Union, ask me, in particular, public unions tend to be the number one contributor to Democratic campaigns. Say what you want, but it's the truth. They don't want unions to give campaign donations because unions tend to give them, not all the unions, the unions that they don't pick on, the police and fire, traditionally give to Republican candidates. Have you ever heard a Republican candidate complaining that the police and fire union are difficult? You ever hear a Republican candidate saying anything negative about police and fire unions? No. But you'll hear them saying negative things about other unions. And ask me in particular. So it's no surprise the governor has pulled out. And we'll see where that's going to go. An interesting story that came out today. Christine Redonio, who is, let's face it, I mean, she's the minority leader in the Illinois Senate. She said today at the City Club of Chicago, and I'm reading this story from the State Journal Register, she said it's possible the standoff over a state budget could last for several years. So anyone who thinks that this thing has got a chance of being passed, you've got one of the highest ranking Republicans in the state of Illinois planning on it being years. Years. Before we get it worked out. Our state's a mess. And I got to tell you something. As someone who just lost his job and is trying to figure out what to do next, as someone who loves Springfield, and I really do. I mean, as soon as I no longer had my main means of income last week, I started thinking, okay, what can I do to stay around Springfield? It's one of the reasons that I'm doing this show on the internet. I'm trying to figure it out. I like living here. I like living in the state of Illinois. I was born in the state of Illinois. I'm Illinois through and through. I met my lovely wife who's a Texan. I could have stayed in Texas, but I didn't. I came to Illinois. I went back home. And I brought her with me. Converted her to where she loves the state of Illinois. We love Springfield. We love living in Springfield. This is where we want to live. And when I actually decide to start looking for another radio job, I guess I should be optimistic. Maybe I should be hopeful. If I decide to start looking for another radio job, I plan on looking in Springfield first and seeing if there's anybody here who is interested in my services. And then if not Springfield, I'm going to look at the surrounding communities around Springfield, so I can stay here and continue to live here. I will have to exhaust all of those before I decide to exhaust, or before I decide to try to leave. But when I see things like this from Christine Redonio, I start to ask myself the question, why? Why? why the hell won't I consider leaving? I mean, they can't even get a budget. They're so... These two sides are so dug in. It's January 11th of 2016. They started working on this budget last fall or last spring. Still don't have one. They're nowhere... They're nowhere closer. They're just not. They're as far apart as they've ever been. Madigan has missed meetings for, I mean, what? Pets dying? Distant relatives having a toe, having an ingrown toenail? I mean, some of these reasons he's missed meetings are ridiculous. Meanwhile, Bruce Rauner is following a playbook that someone else wrote. These guys don't care. And why would they? Rauner's a billionaire. Madigan's a millionaire. They're fine. They're fine. They're not going anywhere. But they're busy trying to convince us of doom and gloom, while at the same time trying to tell us everything's going to be okay and not scare the hell out of us and make us leave. I'm someone right now who when I first found out my situation was like, I don't want to leave Springfield, Illinois. I don't want to leave the state of Illinois. I'd like to stay here. But I'll tell you what. The more I see things like this, I start thinking, you know what? It wouldn't be the worst thing in the world. It wouldn't be the worst thing in the world if somebody from like Indiana came calling. That's right. There are other Midwestern states where they're doing quite well. Indiana's doing good. Minnesota's doing good. Iowa. I don't know if you've seen, Iowa's in the news all the time. Iowa's in the news all the time. I mean, there's a couple downsides. I mean, you got to be willing to live near people who think that Donald Trump, Ted Cruz, and Ben Carson are rational. But with the exception of that, Iowa's very nice. I like Iowa. There are other areas. And then there are places that are warm. Illinois's got to figure it out. That's the bottom line. Got to figure it out and decide what they're going to do. Or I don't believe it's a mass exodus. Some people have said it's a mass exodus. I don't think it's a mass exodus, but I'll tell you, it is an exodus, and it will continue. And I might be part of it. And who knows, you might as well. And who could blame us? You can see the writing on the wall. And by the way, the writing is on the wall. There's no way around it. They're going to have to raise income taxes in the state of Illinois for everybody. And then on top of that, the people who make more than $1 million, their taxes, I'm convinced everybody's going to get bumped up to around 5, and I think the super wealthy, they can expect to pay 7 or 8. There's no other way to make the numbers work. No other ways. You talk about the ultimate catch-22. State of Illinois, we're in it. I don't know how they fix it. The only way to fix it is to create... The easiest way to fix it is to somehow create so many jobs that we create a bunch of new taxpayers and those taxpayers paying the traditional rates that now exist somehow bring so much money into the state that we're able to spend, or we're able to pay the bills. But with businesses leaving and not coming in, there's no new jobs. We're at a catch-22. And because we can't pay the bills, we're going to have to raise taxes. And it's going to be income taxes, and it's probably going to be corporate taxes too. So you'll end up losing people who are current taxpayers, and you'll end up losing businesses that employ people who are becoming taxpayers or who are taxpayers. But we're not answering those questions because we're busy trying to eliminate the union's rights to give campaign donations to Democratic candidates. And because of that, both sides are dug in. But anybody surprised by this union stuff, though, you just haven't been paying attention. This has been the plan all along. No matter what, the Rauner administration was going to find a way to walk away from this negotiation. And no matter what, the union wanted them to take a drastic step like walking away. I don't think either, I think both sides have been not, I'm not going to say dishonest, but both sides have not been honest with us during this whole negotiation. I think they wanted what happened to happen. And I don't know if it's ever going to, I don't know how it's going to play out. I really don't. Up next on my list to get to is Gail Simpson. Former Springfield Alderman Gail Simpson last week was put up by Mayor Langfelder to become the public member on what is essentially our ethics committee. Our oversight committee. And this whole thing started a year ago with the inspector general and blah, blah, blah. But basically, they wanted to set up a board that took complaints from the public or took complaints from people within city government. Someone that would hear complaints of people who worked for the city or people who were affected by city decisions, people, maybe whistleblowers, whatever the case may be. Now, I got to be honest. I thought it was weird when they talked about the mayor being on the board, because wouldn't most of the complaints be about the mayor? I thought it was strange when that happened. I thought it was even more strange when they said that they had to put a member of the public on the board. And that the member of the public that they were wanting to put on the board was Gail Simpson. Now, this has nothing to do against Gail Simpson personally. I've spoken to Gail Simpson personally. I liked her, and I have teased Gail Simpson a lot over the last 5 years. But personally, I like her. She seems like a nice lady. So this has nothing to do with her personally. I would say the same thing if it was Frank Edwards, who I genuinely really like. I like Frank. I've met Frank. I've talked to Frank on off the air. I like him personally. I would have problems if his name was put up. And I consider him a friend of mine. Here's the problem with what the city of Springfield tried to do last week by naming a person who was an alderman just a few months ago as a public member of this board. Perception's awful on this one. Because the average person out there, they don't see Gail Simpson as an outsider. A public member should be someone from outside government. A public member should be a guy working at, I don't know, a guy working at a regular office or maybe outdoors, wherever. Just a regular working stiff, not working for the government, not working for the city, or not recently holding elected office. And definitely not someone who is just on the city council with a lot of members of this board. The public member has to be someone that comes from a different realm of understanding. The public member has to be someone who comes from a different angle. If you bring in someone who is just an alderman, you're basically telling the citizens of this fine city of Springfield that is just another insider making a decision. It was a bad idea, and I'll tell you, I was very, very happy, very proud that aldermen realized this and are redefining what it means to be a public member of this board. And they're redefining it by saying there are certain things you can't have been in the past in order to be on the board. In fact, we're going to have Chris Tylan. I'm going to invite Chris Tylan to be on the show sometime later this week. It would be nice if we can get Chris Tylan to join us and discuss this. He was one of the aldermen drawing up this amendment. I'm sorry, this ordinance that would define what a public member actually is. But I do know that a public member is not Gail Simpson. She was just an alderman. Now, if she was an alderman 15 years ago, that's fine. 10 years ago, fine. But not last year. Not last year. You just can't do that. It's stupid. And the perception is terrible. It's terrible for the city of Springfield. That's just not a good idea. I mean, you gotta get away from that. If you're gonna have a public member, make sure that they are an actual member of the public. And I'm not saying, and maybe someone who's not connected in a member of the public, because like Gail Simpson, of course, she lives in the community. She's a member of the public, but still, the woman was just an alderman. It's a bad idea to put someone like that on the board representing the public. I'm not saying that you should go down the street and find the nearest guy wearing overalls or saggy pants and say, hey, you're a member of the public. Come on and join this board. I'm not saying you should do that. But I'm saying if you're going to put a public member on, make sure they're not an insider. It needs to be someone who is not an insider. That's my advice for this, and it seems that that's the way that our city council is going to go with it. Like I said, I'm going to invite Chris Tylan on. I shouldn't say we're going to have him on because he might not do the show, but I will definitely invite him on to discuss if he wants to do it. All right? I mean, this is just me, and I know I told you I was nervous, and I told you I had a problem of having too many things to discuss and not enough time. I had to edit, but was it okay? What did you guys think? Did it work out all right? Huh? Did the first test show go okay? I'm going to be finding my feet over the next week or so before we before I decide this is something we're going to do on a daily basis. That's my plan, though, is to do it on a daily basis. Let's see how it goes. I think test show number one went down pretty well. If I say so myself. I hope that you enjoyed. I'll be back tomorrow. Now, listen, tomorrow, I know I say that the show will play at 4:30, but it won't. We won't do that tomorrow. I mean, the show will play every day at 4. We won't do that tomorrow. Tomorrow it'll start more like 4:30. And the reason is I have to host Ask the Expert. Which is strange because I don't know who... I have no idea who replaced the Ray Lytle show on WTAX, but I do know on Tuesdays from 3 to 4, it is Ask the Expert, and that's a contracted thing, and I'm the host of it. So I will do that, but technically, I guess, I don't even know. Technically, I think I'm working for Memorial on that. I don't know. But I do know that it's good to see my friends over there at WTAX, so I pop in. And I don't know how long it'll last because they might wake up one morning and say, you know what, we just let him go. It's probably a bad idea to have him back. Although, that's not coming from me. I like I said, I enjoy seeing my friends when I go in on Tuesdays. But I will tell you that I will do a show tomorrow. It starts at 4:30 instead of, you know, we started earlier today. We'll start at 4:30 tomorrow. We'll start at 4:30 tomorrow. The show is going to run from 4 to 5:30 every day, Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. However, on Tuesdays, it's going to run from 4:30, or starting at 4:30, at least as long as Ask the Expert holds up. And I don't know how long that's going to, like I said, they could cancel it who knows when. So while that's going on, for the term of that contract, there you go. That's the plan. I hope you enjoyed today. For those of you that missed the show, it's immediately going. I'm going to start the replay of it from the beginning. We'll start the whole thing over again in just a moment. You have been listening to The Ray Lytle Show on SpringfieldTalk.com. If you liked it, thank you. If you didn't like it, I'm sorry. I'll try to do better tomorrow and the next day. This week is a week of test shows. If it's something you think is worthy, please tell your friends. The podcast for this show will be available in just a few minutes at SpringfieldTalk.com. And the replay will begin immediately following me saying goodnight. And that's what I'm saying now. Good night, everybody. It's The Ray Lytle Show. Talk to you tomorrow. Oh, yeah.